Do we all have joy? Are we happy to be here? Hallelujah. You know, I couldn't help but notice in Psalm 68, 3 through 5, which we read, says, "Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before Elohim. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly." Not just having joy, but having exceeding joy. And knowing that, you know, things are in Yahweh's control. That nothing goes by in a day that isn't in Yahweh's charge. In just the song even, it says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And there is joy in salvation, and we have, I think, among all men, the most to be thankful for, the most to be joyful about. And it is just overwhelming sometimes. But we really need to consider how joyful we should be. Because there are times when, you know, things aren't so great and, you know, the joy seems to wane at times. But joy defined in the dictionary is the emotion evoked by well-being, success, the prospect of possessing what one desires, delight, the expression or exhibition of such emotion, gaiety, a state of happiness or felicity, bliss, a source or cause of delight. Now, I think one thing that can help us to be joyful, to be happy, to be in a blessed attitude, if you would, especially when coming before Yahweh, you know, this day, the Sabbath day, and other days, I think something that will help is to count our blessings. Have we counted our blessings lately? Do we count our blessings? You know, thinking of the spiritual aspect of the blessings that we have, for those of us in Messiah Yahshua, we're forgiven of the death penalty. Ultimately, the greatest thing that we can receive. We understand Yahweh's word and plan of salvation for mankind. We look forward to a coming kingdom and a new heaven and earth. You know, Scripture talks about the people perish without a vision, but we have a vision. And instead of perishing, we are being renewed daily in Yahweh's Spirit. Philippians 3:7, I just want to touch on this because Paul understood a number of things. And since he wrote half the New Testament under inspiration of Yahweh's Spirit, we should take a look at some of what he says. Philippians 3 and starting in verse 7. "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Messiah." Why does he say that? In Messiah, we have forgiveness of sins. We are no longer under the death penalty. And, you know, he said whatever he thought that he had that was of gain, nothing compares to the forgiveness in Messiah. I believe that's what he's saying here. He says in verse 8, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Messiah Yahshua, my master, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Messiah and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which comes from Elohim on the basis of faith. We know that we are justified not by the works of the law, but by faith in Yahshua the Messiah." So we can't boast saying, "Well, I did this or I did that." No, we can't say that. Yahshua did it for us. Verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." This is our hope. "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Messiah Yahshua. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting that which lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Elohim in Messiah Yahshua. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, Elohim will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the stake of Messiah, whose end is destruction, whose Elohim is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Master, Yahshua the Messiah, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Everything has been given to Yahshua the Messiah. Everything has been given to him. Nothing is not his. And if we overcome to the end, will we not reign with him? Will we not have that expectation? Do we not have that expectation now? We can look at the stars above at night and remember Yahweh's promise to Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, father of a great multitude. We can imagine rebuilding and beautifying even more the universe, which currently is in a state of decay. Something that speaks contrary to evolution, the fact that things are in a state of decay. They're not getting better. Not yet, because they will get better. And it's something we have to look forward to. We can count our blessings physically. We are able to eat good, clean food. We are able to breathe fresh air. For the most part, I mean, there's some air out there that's not so clean. But we can drink clean water, and the same goes with that. I mean, there's not much clean water out in the world today because of the pollutants, because of what man has done. But we're still able to filter it out. We're still able to drink clean water. And we can plan for tomorrow. We have creative abilities. We can plan by doing even what's good today for tomorrow. And sometimes there is hardship. It takes 4 tons of coal, as I understand, crushed under tremendous pressure to produce just a 1-carat diamond. And then that 1-carat diamond, if it's going to be perfected and made, you know, bright and shiny, you know, producing the light that it does, it's going to have to be cut and by a master craftsman. And I think we can relate to that ourselves. We ourselves are put under tremendous pressure at times. And we ourselves are cut by the Master's hand to produce something that's going to shine brightly. James 1 and verse 2. If you turn there with me. Consider it all joy. We're speaking of joy today. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It produces patience, something that we're going to need long term. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There's a reason. When Yahweh pulls us out of the world, when we heed that calling, when we're immersed in Yahshua's name, when we receive that Spirit, it's one of the best things that could have ever happened to us. And it's the best thing that can happen to anyone. And it is certainly a joy to know that we are not alone in our trials, our tribulations, but that something good is happening through all of it. And we may feel like, you know, I just don't feel very good right now. I've gone through a lot. Well, it'll take some time, but Yahweh is working with you and will help to overcome. But we have to make decisions daily We're given right and wrong all the time. We have to always choose what's right because the choices are there. We have to keep making the right choices. Do we trust in Yahweh through Yahshua? Do we do what is right in their sight? Psalm 5. Psalm 5 and verse 11. Let all who take refuge in you. In who? Yahweh. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. And may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you. Psalm 32. Yahweh is a refuge to us. And trusting in Him, it brings us joy. Because we know that He'll take care of us. Psalm 32 and verse 11. It says, be glad in Yahweh and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Sing in verse 1 of 33. Sing for joy in Yahweh, you who are righteous. All you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. So the upright have a reason to be joyful because we know that we're doing Yahweh's will. We're in His Spirit. We're in His truth, observing His Word. Proverbs. Hold your place here in Psalms because we'll go right back there, but go over to Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 20. Proverbs 12 and verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Why do they have joy? Because they're trying to help others. They're trying to help others have peace of mind and to know Yahweh's truth. I mean, how can you have peace of mind without knowing Yahweh's truth? Without knowing why things are the way they are in the world? Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. So we know that there's a purpose for the law. We know that there's a cause and effect, that what a person reaps, he will sow. So if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap life, the Scripture says. And that Spirit gave us instructions that we're to walk by. It's light unto our path. Let's go back to Psalms 34. One of my favorite scriptures is here because it talks about magnifying Yahweh. And it talks about coming together to do that. And it's something that we're admonished to do. This is a man after Yahweh's own heart. There's a reason that he's said to be a man after Yahweh's own heart. He says, and notice how he speaks here. He says, I will bless Yahweh at all times, no matter what the circumstances are. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There are those that speak and you wonder if there's any praise anywhere in their life because they always complain. They always talk about how bad things are. But it says that His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in Yahweh. What does Scripture say? If we're going to boast about anything, I think it's Paul who said that. You're going to boast in Messiah. Boast in Yahweh. You're going to boast about those things that matter. My being shall make its boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Almost a contagious type thing. You ever have someone come in the room and they're just their presence, it's like they just won the lottery or something, and they walk in and they have all this joy. Not that money is going to bring all that much joy, but I mean, some have found that brings only hardship. Verse 3, "O magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Yahweh, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears." I mean, we have examples in Scripture where Yahweh delivers his people. And, of course, we have examples where the people really didn't do all that they should have done, and they complained, and they didn't have the joy that they should have had for all that Yahweh did for them. So we have to be careful about our own attitude, and we need to pursue joy and make sure that we have it in our lives. And I think there is an automatic joy that we have with Yahweh's Spirit, but sometimes the world and other things, that spirit can be suppressed a little. And we don't want to suppress it at all. We don't want to quench it. Now, many speak of a rapture, but we know that there's a kingdom, a coming kingdom of Yahweh that's going to be established on earth. And we read about that in Isaiah, book of Isaiah in chapter 35. Isaiah 35, starting there in verse 1, says, "The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. All will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of Yahweh, the majesty of our Elohim. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your Elohim will come with vengeance. The recompense of Elohim will come." We know that is coming. We know tribulation is coming. It says, though, "But he will save you." And it talks about not one kernel will be lost. Do we have assurances? Do we have promises? Can we trust in the Creator of the universe, who has everything in his hand, including our lives? I think we can trust wholeheartedly in the promises that we're given. Skipping down to verse 9, it says, "No lion will be there," speaking of the kingdom in here on earth, "nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of Yahweh will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads." Everlasting joy. Wow. I mean, we have joy. I mean, we have exceeding joy at times, but we don't have it all the time. I mean, at least I don't. I mean, I get depressed sometimes. I have, mixed emotions sometimes. But I try to have a good attitude, and I try to have joy. But here it says, "With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy in sorrow and sighing," which we have today. It'll all flee away. Even Revelation 21 talks about that. He himself will wipe away our tears. The struggles that we have them. But they're all going to pass away. But the eternal joy won't. The gladness won't. The happiness. The blessings that are coming. Isaiah 51, I remember Elder Don saying, if Scripture says something once, we should listen. If it says something twice, you better believe it's going to be important. Well, 51 and verse 11, basically says the same thing. And there are other scriptures besides this that reiterate. It says, so the ransomed of Yahweh will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. And everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They will obtain gladness. It says they will obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. It's coming. It's going to happen. And for that, we can be very joyful right here and now. And think about these things that are pleasant and good, and consider what is coming, and have hope now in Messiah and in the future. But we have to overcome. We have to make those right choices as we continue moving forward. Zechariah chapter 2. Will our life be better if we have more joy in it? Isn't that an interesting question? I was reading through a book by the gentleman's name is Maxwell. I forget his first name. I believe it's Maxwell. Anyway, the book is called The Winning Attitude. And he is a former minister, and so he fills his writings with scripture. And I can appreciate that, because as I read through and gives different examples, he does bring forth some good scriptures to think about. But he talks about this time when he was traveling via airplane with a friend of his who was a pilot. And the pilot, he noticed, was friend was watching the instruments very carefully as he took off. And he got into a bit of a conversation, because, you know, he was able to look around, but the pilot was looking at those instruments, making sure that things were right. And he said, well, what are you looking at there? And he says he's checking his attitude, not altitude, but attitude, the attitude of the airplane. And he thought, attitude of the airplane? He said, yeah. And he said, well, got curious and said, well, what's that? So he explained to him, he said, well, like when we're going up, as we go up, we're going at an angle, and we're you know, it could be the other way, though. We could be going down. The nose could be going down. We could be going at a faster rate. So he said, well, so the nose up is like an attitude. You have the nose up attitude of the airplane. He said, yeah. And you'd have, alternatively, the nose down attitude of the airplane. And in thinking about that, I mean, there's a cause and effect there. I mean, if you have a good attitude, I mean, you know, maybe you're not going to be heading down and crashing. Whereas if you have a bad attitude, that's exactly what would happen. So he explains this a little bit, and I thought that was kind of interesting. And so I do think that, you know, we will be better off if we have a better attitude and joy. Now, in thinking about that, didn't Yahshua, wasn't he a man of sorrows? Well, yes. And he considered, you know, the things that he saw, and he wasn't happy with some of the people at the time, and even today, I mean, we sigh and have sorrow over the way things are in the world. But we can be joyful amongst ourselves in our own lives, knowing that there is something better coming, and the pain and the sorrow and the problems that we see today with the sins and the total disregard for Yahweh and His laws, that'll all be put away someday. Where was I? Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 10. Sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, declares Yahweh. Many nations will join themselves to Yahweh in that day and will become my people. Then I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. Yahweh will possess Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, O flesh, before Yahweh, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. What an awesome description of what's coming. What an awesome description. And what an awesome knowledge it is to have this understanding to know what's coming. The future is bright for those that love Yahweh. Matthew 25, verse 21. This Maxwell also mentioned something about, people sometimes have bad attitudes, and sometimes they have bad attitudes all the time. He described this person. He ended up having a car accident. He got out of the car all upset, and he yelled at the person, "Hey, why is it you guys can't drive around here? This is my fifth accident today." This, the attitude. I think if we have a good attitude, we'll have less accidents. I think that may be the moral of the story there. Matthew 25 and verse 21. Isn't this what we want to hear? His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." You know, Paul said, this life, the way things are, the sufferings, the trials, the troubles, it's not even worth comparing to what's coming. We have to keep that, those goals in mind. When we come to services with joy, because we get to see each other, we get to fellowship, we get to go before Yahweh's throne, we get to sing praises to Him, we get to communicate with Him, offer up incense or prayer. Psalm 100, 1 through 5. "Shout joyfully to Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that Yahweh Himself is Elohim. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For Yahweh is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." How encouraging is that? This is good news. The coming kingdom, it's coming. And we have, I think, the greatest joy in the world right now. With Yahweh moving us forward, with us having an understanding of what's going on, and seeking the spiritual realm, not the fleshly realm. I mean, it's nice to have good things, but what's really good? What really counts? What really lasts? The spiritual. On our pins, in fact, this last feast, we had some pins. Leviticus 23, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read what it says. And Leviticus 23 and 40, it says, "You shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim for 7 days." But it just doesn't stop there, but it is a time of rejoicing to go before Yahweh. Notice it says before Yahweh your Elohim. And that's what we're doing here today. We're going before His throne. And we're being joyful about it. We're being good servants. And sometimes we have Bible studies. Do you know you can have joy in Bible study? Psalms 119, verse 24. 119 and verse 24 says, "Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors." Speaking of counseling, we are counseled by His Word. And there is delight in reviewing those testimonies. Jeremiah 15. also reiterates similar concept. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Your words are found and I ate them. This is Jeremiah speaking. Your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. It was a joy to Jeremiah. Now this is a prophet who had many tears. In fact, he was referred to as, wasn't he, the weeping, not crying, but weeping prophet. He says, your words were found and I ate them. I took them in. I assimilated them. And they became for me a joy and a delight in my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. Have we not been called by his name? Do we not get fed by his word? Does it not bring joy? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Do we find joy in it? Interestingly enough, we find peace right after it. Romans 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So what does it mean to be led by the Spirit versus led by the flesh? Fleshly impulses. It's better to be led by the Spirit. Philippians 4 in verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to Elohim. And the peace of Elohim, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yahshua. So be anxious for nothing. Boy, there's a tall order to follow. I don't know about you, but I'm anxious about certain things. But here it says, be anxious for nothing. Put it all before Yahweh in prayer. And with thanksgiving. Thanking Yahweh ahead of time. I know you're going to work everything out. I don't have to worry. Praise be to Yahweh. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy we have blessings and cursings. And we know that we're to be obedient. As a child is to his father or mother, I mean, we're to be obedient to our Heavenly Father, as children, as his children. Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey Yahweh your Elohim, being careful to do all his commandments, which I have commanded you today, Yahweh your Elohim will set you high above all the nations of the earth. He will bless you. All these blessings shall overcome you and overtake you if you obey Yahweh your Elohim. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be your offspring, and so on and so forth. Blessings, blessings, blessings for obedience. But is it just obedience? Look at this. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47, getting into the curses. Notice here in verse 47, because you did not serve Yahweh your Elohim with joy and glad heart for the abundance of all things, we counted our blessings. They are many. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom Yahweh shall send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. That's the curse for those that do not serve Yahweh with joy and with gladness of heart. And does that hold true in Scripture? What happened to the Israelites when they went out of Egypt? Yahweh blessed them. Yahweh gave them everything that they needed. And yet they complained. They did not serve him with joy and with gladness of heart. They complained and they looked down. They wanted the melons and the leeks and the onions and those things that were back in Egypt. They weren't looking up to Yahweh. They had the physical in front of them more than they had the spiritual. And they suffered consequences. They didn't enter the promised land. We have to learn from their mistake. Galatians 6. We'll close with this. Galatians 6. And starting in verse 7. Going through 10. Do not be deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And I was watching this teaching video on science and specifically physics and how the Einstein had the idea of relativity, that things are pretty constant as far as if you do this, this happens, these type of things going on. Well, the same thing in the spiritual realm. I mean, if you do something wrong, I mean, there's a consequence to that. So we have to do what's right. We have to keep in mind that what we do, I mean, it does have a bearing on what happens to us. Verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are of the household of the faith. May Yahweh bless. May Yahweh give us the understanding and the joy and the happiness that we certainly desire and seek and that we have in Messiah Yahshua. And may Yahweh help us to pursue it always. Through Yahshua Messiah, hallelujah.